Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be when you're listening to this. My name is Charisse Alexander, your host of Your Collective. On today's episode, I'll be joined again with or by Helen Nguyen, coach and NLP practitioner with Embrace Your Power Coaching. Given the time of year, we're getting to the end of the year. There's only a few weeks left, and I don't know about you, but this time of year becomes a time of reflection, looking back and seeing, okay, what goals did I set and how did I do in achieving them? And then after doing that assessment, I will pivot and think about what it is that I want to accomplish for the new year. And that new year, believe it or not, is 2025. It's right around the corner. So today, Helen and I will be talking a little bit about goal setting, maybe in a little bit of a different way, and holding yourself accountable and checking back and assessing how you've actually done or how do you keep yourself on track with achieving those goals. So without further delay, let us dive in. Welcome, 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 Helen, today. I'm so happy you're here. Thank you for joining me on the Your Collective podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Yes. So before we actually dive into today's episode, which is all about goal setting, what I would like you to do is to tell me if you could have any superpower in the world, what would your superpower be?
My superpower would be able to conserve time. To conserve time, because as we get older, time just goes by so fast, mm-hmm. super duper fast. So if we can just press, you know, the slow-mo button, just, you know, periodically, I think that would be able to help savor some of those memories.
So do you remember that movie with Adam Sandler where he was given that remote and he was like speeding up time
His,
because he was like, oh, this is boring, I'm going to fast forward. But he never actually slowed it down. So I want to make sure. So you would actually just like slow everything right down. So it didn't, would you hit pause or just like slow everything right down?
Just slow down, not pause, because energy doesn't move that way, nor does human beings. We always have to be in motion. But there are moments in time in life when I think back, you know, there are times where you felt like time was slower, right? Mm-hmm. Like bringing back to childhood, for instance, you know, going over summer holidays, you thought that was a long time.
It's true.
But it was only 2 months. But now when we think about 2 months, it's like it goes back so fast. You know what I mean?
Very true.
So I would slow some of that time down, because, you know, we always wish that, oh, I wish I had more time, or mm-hmm. I wish I had more time with this person or that person. You know what I mean? So if one of my superpowers would be if I could slow down time.
That's actually a good one. I'm gonna think about that. So today we are chatting about goal setting because we are mm-hmm. getting near the end of the year. And I think most people use the final quarter of the regular calendar to say, okay, what have I done and what am I going to do in the future in the next year that's coming in 2025? Can you believe it is around the quarter? Oh my gosh, I can't even believe it. So what I guess I would pose to you first mm-hmm. and foremost is like, where do people start? What if they're new to goal setting? And I think you and I've talked about different ways to goal set. Let's start with that. What is a different way that people can approach goal setting that might not be so traditional?
Well, traditionally, people would set a goal, what their outcome should be like, and then they work towards that outcome. But what they're missing is the process of it. So yes, it's important to have an outcome as a goal, but you also have to give yourself the processing time. So it's great to dream big, to think your audacious goal and have it really big so that you can work towards it. Even if you don't hit it, you're further ahead than if you never thought you could get there. But if you can actually narrow it down to process like different phases to get to the goal, that is something that a lot of people miss. Because we hear this all the time. Beginning of the year begins and everyone's scrambling around, oh, I need to set a year-end goal. We hear that all the time. But why do most people quit even a quarter of the way? Because they didn't make processing goals. So the processing goals, how it happens is make yourself a smaller goal each day. Yes, you have that big goal, but you need to break it down into phases. Now, if you're going to measure it by quarter of the year, then focus on the quarter. Where is that going to be? And at which stage will this goal be working towards it? So traditionally, people just focus on the outcome and they never focus on the process. They don't celebrate themselves that they, one, took a pen and paper and start writing out things that they need to do. And each time that they check off a task, do they celebrate themselves? This is part of self-motivation as well. Because the biggest failure in setting goals is that you don't celebrate along the way. People tend to quit, right? And that's majority of the people. But that's something that I was taught actually from a good friend of mine. And she actually is in the martial arts world. Now, it's the same thing for athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go into a fight in the ring and you want to win the gold. But how do you get there in terms of getting your own mindset, getting your own body to move forward to that goal when you don't know where to go from there?
Yeah.
So the biggest goal can be going into a ring, right? And maybe kick for Taekwondo, it's all kicks, right? So get the most kicking points as you can. Mm-hmm. Don't think about winning. You think about trying your best to kick as much as you can where the target is so that you can gain the points. So whether you win or lose, you're still ahead of that game. And then you go into a ring again. If you did lose, you can go in the ring again. And you can fight again. That gives you that motivation to continue to push forward to that goal. One day that goal will happen if you have achieved it yet, right? So it's more of a mindset thing than anything else, to be honest.
So, you know, most people when we're setting goals, we're looking at, okay, this is what I want to accomplish this year. And so you said, okay, break it down into chunks. So I think one of the things I've identified with myself is like, I don't, and you pointed this out actually, you were like, okay, have you gone back to your list? Like, what were your goals? And interestingly enough, I did the same thing with one of my kids because they were getting down on themselves. Like, oh, I'm not doing this thing. And so I said, okay, go back to your list. Let's look at it. And when he did, he was like, oh, I guess I've already like achieved all my goals. And it was like a quarter of the way through the year. It was March. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so I guess with that in mind, then you check back into your list and I guess what you're saying then, so frequently then every day, every week, are we like writing down these things and going back to the list and making sure that we're actually making forward progress to achieving those things?
That's correct. You can set any timeline you'd like, however that you feel that is the most comfortable. Now, there is no set in stone, a perfect formula out there because everybody's mind is so different.
Mm-hmm.
How you perceive things, how you conduct your things every day. Now, if you were to break it down to priorities, for instance, if you prioritize the most important things first, the first three things that you're supposed to do on your list is the three most important things on your list first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you work your way down, right? So if you get into the habit of doing that daily, you will reach your goal faster.
Yeah.
Just because when you prioritize the things that is going to advance you or whatever is important, the first thing in the morning, that's when your mind is the sharpest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about mental state.
Absolutely.
So
When you are looking at goal setting, I myself personally, I find that I can overwhelm myself with a goal because I'll go, okay, these are my personal goals. These are my spiritual goals. These are my physical health goals. These are my money goals. These are like, you can see how my list is getting very big.
Yeah,
and then, so there's those categories, and then I've got goals under each of those categories, which already as I'm saying it, I'm like, I'm exhausted because I've just written down all these goals and I don't know that I'm going to be able to achieve all of these things. So what do you suggest to people in terms of like that portion of it? Because I need to have a little bit of organization within this. Otherwise, it just feels like I'm not really doing anything.
Ben, now you're starting to talk about time blocking.
Yes.
Well, studies have shown actually, if you were to multitask and just do a little bit of this, but not realistically fully focus on that task alone, you're actually not getting anywhere. So it actually causes more stress than anything else. It causes some people, when it's too much, a mental breakdown as well. Mm-hmm. And it has been proven. So if you were going to dedicate yourself, like say into categories like that, whether it's for work, number one, number two is for self, and spiritually comes connected with self, right? Mm-hmm. Then you need to break down your timelines per day. So every day from this time to this time, you're fully focused on this only. And then now you move on to the next. That's how you would be able to stay focused and organized and actually achieving all those goals. And actually, you would be more efficient at doing that versus like, okay, I'm going to touch base on this for a few minutes. Oh, I see something else I need to do. And then you go there and do that and then come back to this. When you're jumping back and forth like a yo-yo like that, your mind doesn't have enough time or space to kind of like switch over.
Yeah.
Right. So when you're in a work mode, your mind is on a different program. When you're in a self mode, your mind is also in a different program.
That's true. It's a different energy that you're bringing to it. And I guess I should have clarified. It's not like I go through my day breaking down my goals like that. What I mean is at the start of my goal setting process, I break down those categories. And what I have found particularly this year is I'm like, you know what? I don't really want to do that thing that I thought that I wanted to do. So I'll just remove it from the list. And so let's talk a little bit about having a little bit of being open to like, maybe this isn't something that I want to focus on because I don't, and not necessarily about time, but I think it's about interest and dedication to actually fulfilling that particular goal, right? And being okay with that.
And that's the thing. You can always customize anything. I always tell people the first thing to do is to create a framework. Once you have the framework, what you put inside of it can always be put in, take out, put in, take out, right? It's almost like when you build a house, right? You have the framing work done. So you know that this is the area for that functions like this, for like the kitchen, for instance, right? But how you decorate or how you function in that kitchen is totally, you can always change it.
Yeah.
You like this decor one day, and then the next day you want to change it. It's totally fine. So what I'm trying to say is that maybe break it down and to see what the framework looks like. Again, tie it in with time, because time, even though it's man-made in the universe, doesn't understand time. They only understand the process, right? Mm-hmm. So if you were to tie in time-wise, now you have boxes to work with. So now you know what you need to work with that. So let's just say that you wanted to change your goals halfway within half the year, right? You're like exactly what you're explaining. Well, I thought I have interest in this, but I don't want to do this anymore. I actually have something else that I want to replace it. You actually can, because now it goes in that box.
Yeah.
And then you just have to reevaluate and break that box down. So if you compartmentalize it all like that, it's not so overwhelming because now you know the framework.
Okay. I think that, now that you mention it, I actually haven't looked at my goals in a long time. I think that there's somewhere I'm just doing like a mental check on the, because some of them changed, right? And so I can think of the very big goals, and those are still a work in progress. And I think that for me, part of it is being okay with when things don't necessarily go according to plan, right? Because what is it we sometimes say in this journey, this experience, that we're not, that we're maybe not supposed to, and we're talking about goal setting, so there's a balance here, right? The when and the how. So here's the big, hairy, audacious goal. I've got this vision in my head of something I want to achieve, but I'm not supposed to necessarily get so caught up in the when or the how. So how do you balance that in the process of goal setting?
In the process of goal.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
So like I said, how I was aware of the process and goal was from a really good friend of mine. She's in the martial arts world. And she actually owns her own Taekwondo studio, which is family run. And she's been in that field for, oh gosh, almost 30 years now, or her entire life, really. Because her dad is a grandmaster and she's a master herself in it. So she actually helped me a lot with my son. Because after my dad passed away, my son didn't really understand about certain things. He was down on himself. He didn't understand what death was. And he needed a lot of help. So I always say to raise a child, you need a community to raise a child, right?
Yep.
And what I started doing with him and what I've noticed is that, you know, the goal is obviously for him to be more confident and to do all these things, but he just doesn't know how to get there. And that big goal there is scary to him because how? Again, you were talking about the when and the how. When is this going to happen and how I'm going to do it? But what he's missing is the energy level to be there to be able to achieve it. So she talked to me about processing goals.
Yeah.
So every day he had to do something like just a little tiny scary for himself. Like he's a very timid boy. He's very quiet and he doesn't approach people like normally how we would say, oh, hi, going into school and being like with our friends and stuff. He always felt like a little bit of an outcast or alone. So I told him, I said, your goal today is actually just to go out and play. Who cares if you know that person or not? Just go out there and pick two people, anybody, somebody you know or somebody you don't know, and just say hi. That's it. That was his first task. So when he did, brought up, because that took a lot of courage out of him, right?
Yes, yeah.
But he achieved that processing goal just by saying hi. Now you see him take that little step. So now you work on the next processing goal.
Yeah.
So it's very similar, like as in, okay, most people, they want to reach at a certain like income level, for instance, right? But how do you get there? And when is this going to happen? And this is what people struggle with.
Yeah.
Yes, you can reverse engineer, but a lot of people have a problem or have difficulties in reverse engineering that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Then you have to be really good with numbers, how to move things around. The majority of people aren't accountants, nor are they financial planners, right? So what do? Now you have to look at your processing goal. What can you do in this month? Like say you're talking about January.
Yep.
In January, what can you do in January to up that income level a little bit? It could be things like you look around your house, your processing goal is to organize your house. Why? Because you're going to find a lot of things you can sell off. Lots of things you never needed or used in like years. And I'm sure a lot of people listening to this will understand this. You go into your crawl space or basement and you're like, that's still there. And you're like, I could get money for this.
Or you have tags still on clothes. That's always a good sign.
Exactly. But that could be part of your processing goal. It has nothing to do with making more money in that sense. But if your income level that year, you need an extra $5,000 to $10,000 boost.
Yeah.
First, small task. Reorganize your house, clean up, clean your house, and then you're going to start seeing stuff because now you're aware of it. So your processing goal that month could be like organizing my house. Doesn't matter.
Let's actually use this as an example then for the process, because people are especially seeing as there's a money podcast and people are always talking about making more money or saving money or reducing this. It's always tied to money. So let's use this example of money in terms of, okay, great. You told me to organize my house. Done. I've organized my house. What's next? What's another processing goal then?
So once you finish organizing your house, you're going to automatically think to yourself, do I need this or do I not?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to go around and continue making a list of things that need to either be donated or sell. Now, selling an item, a lot of people don't like doing, because a lot of people don't like to sell.
But
let me tell you, Marketplace is the best platform for it.
Mm-hmm.
The best. The reason why is that it's free. It literally takes no time. You're on social media anyways, and you're looking through stuff. I'm pretty sure lots of people buy stuff off of Marketplace as well.
Yep.
It takes you literally seconds to list an item. So now if you can gather what you do not need in your home, and this is part of energy cleansing too, by the way, the more stuff we hoard, the more energy is trapped. So you're going to start feeling good about yourself once you start getting rid of something.
That's true. I always feel great when I like de-junk. I love de-junking. I am not a hoarder by any stretch of the imagination.
But somebody else could use that. You don't have to list high. You just have that perspective of how much you want that item is worth, that you think that is worth, right? Somebody out there, if they buy it at that price, then that's the item that's worth, right? Or search online to see how much would that go for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But making these little tasks, okay, you're done cleaning. You're making a list of things that you could sell. Okay. Your next goal is maybe look up these items to see how much they are.
Mm-hmm.
Once you achieve that, and you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Every time you achieve those little mini goals, it's a part of the process, mm-hmm. right? Next thing you know, you might not list the stuff right away, but now you can dedicate another month for that.
Yes.
You don't have to do it right away. You can do these little processing goals to kind of boost, add on to that income level at the end of the year. Yes, you can ask for a raise at work as well. That could be another part of the goal. Your processing goal is to ask your boss for a raise. Or what can you do to add on like extra things that you can do? But again, it's about the process. How do you get to that mini goal now? That's your big goal, but it's all these little stuff that matters. Because as soon as you pass that level, then you get to go to the next step and then the next step. And next thing you know, you reach your goal without really knowing that you did.
Yeah.
Because you're going to look back and you're like, all this stuff that I sold in my house, I'll give you an example. Since I just moved, I sold a ton of stuff at my house.
So this is really fresh for you.
Yes. And this is what I mean by is that there is money sitting inside your house.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. I sold my decor stuff. Like I accumulated all this stuff. But honestly, when I sold some of that stuff, it was like $2,500.
Holy shit.
I know. And I was like scratching my head because I look at this stuff every day and I had it for years and it was just sitting there doing nothing.
Wow.
That's what I mean.
I would have never even thought of, although you should hear me telling people I know, like, you know what, you should really have a garage sale or you should really, but I get why they don't want to do it because it is a lot of work in doing all of that. So, okay. So focus on the process versus the end outcome. Don't think about that so much because that could overwhelm you. If you're somebody who's not overwhelmed by the end goal, great. Awesome. Run mm-hmm. with that. But if you are, just bite-sized little steps to get you where you're going. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the obvious way to define success, because there's something that you said very early in this, which was we don't celebrate enough of the milestones of the journey to the goal. So mm-hmm. what are some other ways that we can celebrate the success within that, aside from the obvious one, which is being obviously hitting that goal. So if your goal is $10,000 extra dollars for the year and you hit that, awesome. But like, how else do we celebrate that? I guess you could say in achieving the teeny tiny little steps in the process would be one of the obvious ways.
So I'll give you another example of, like, say, if you're a super busy person and you've got a very high demanding job, right? And you basically don't have time for yourself. I know that you should take time for yourself always, but another goal could be that you can go out and venture for like half a day for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might be like, you know what? I just want to sit on this bench and watch the horizon. Some people just want to sit in silence because they are so bombarded. But that could be something that they desire that they can work towards as well. Like, I've known people who, you know, have plan a family vacation, but they have to hit this goal first before they can reward themselves with that. Mm-hmm. So for an example, you want to eat healthy. You want to get healthy. You want to get fit this year. And you're not really motivated because nobody wants to to cut down, you know, like, and be strict on their diet and go and work out and do all this stuff because that takes an extra energy.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've done is, okay, the family's trip is, okay, planned for in 6 months' time, for instance, right? And you tell your family, you're like, okay, well, this is my goal, but if I don't achieve this, then there won't be any family vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what your family does?
They motivate you.
They will motivate you. They will cheer you on. They will correct you. And as soon as you pick up a donut, you're like, no, put that down right now. So now you have other people
really invested in your goal.
Exactly. So you can be very creative with these things. You know what I mean?
That's actually a really great idea. That's a really great idea.
Right?
Yeah.
And like, if you were to like say you want to buy an item, for instance, like as females, we got lots of stuff we want to buy.
Yeah.
We're not like men, you know, it's like, oh, you don't need this and this. And maybe you want to buy this lip gloss that is like triple the price that you what you normally would pay for.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like luxurious and makes you feel good. You know, you put it on and you just like you feel like $1 million. You know what I mean? But you're feeling like, OK, I don't deserve this. Right. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, number one, it's triple the price. And then you're thinking to yourself, well, I haven't done anything extra to be able to
deserve
reward
it.
Myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So plan it out, being like, okay, if I hit this stage, let's say the third stage of this month. So in this month, this is my goal is to like, again, reorganize my house. By this date, like say half the month, if half of my house is not organized yet, I'm not there yet. But as soon as that month comes and being like, okay, that's how you would gauge, right? Finally, you've reorganized your whole house, 2,000 square feet, whatever, 1,500 square feet house, okay? You reorganized everything. It took you a whole month to do it. Once you finish that, reward yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Go and buy that luxurious lip gloss if you want to. It can be any kind of reward, to be honest. For some people, it's really weird. They'll be like, well, honestly, I just want a box of donut. I'm like, then have a box of donut. And don't feel guilty about eating it because
no.
It's a reward.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
What a different way of thinking about it. Because, you know, there's obvious rewards like when it's weight loss, right? It's like, okay, when I get to like, I've lost 10 pounds, I'm totally going to go and buy like that shirt because I just needed to lose 10 pounds. So those ones are obvious. But these are definitely creative ways to like loop people into like keeping you accountable, because that's mm-hmm. often the toughest part is like, how do I keep, if you're not somebody who can hold yourself accountable and be really disciplined. And let's face it, there's a lot of distractions on a daily basis. There's
a lot.
Exactly. So lot. What a great way to loop people into the plan. Like, no vacation if mom doesn't lose the weight.
As soon as you pick up a donut, let me tell you.
Someone comes flying across the room to like bat it out of here. I just had a whole visual of that.
But it makes it extra fun for you.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I mean? It's like you're running a marathon here and you need your teammates, you know?
Yeah,
like
it's true.
It's not just by yourself anymore. So these goals can be very small, but it can be actually very enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, when they think of, oh, I gotta set my goals. Because why do they feel like that? Because majority of the time people quit in the first quarter.
Yeah. That's
first
true.
Quarter of the year. They just go off path, and then next thing you know, they're so far gone that they're like, oh, screw it. I'll just make new goals next year.
Yeah, the new year is coming.
I'll just make goals next year.
We're halfway through the year. Oh.
And then the cycle goes over and over again.
Yeah.
So this is a non-scary way where it can give you clarity. Because I think that a lot of people don't have enough of that clarity to be able to move forward with that, right? Mm-hmm. So I always say the process is probably more important than the outcome itself. Because if you focus on the process all the time and you're achieving this, I'm telling you right now, you might surpass that goal by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Your goal might change, like you said.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's definitely when we were... So one of the goals that we had set was the podcast. So yay, I achieved one. but I remember you saying, okay, focus on the process. Like just focus on the process. And then here it is. The process, focusing on the process was great because the goal itself, and I remember calling you and saying like, I'm feeling really overwhelmed. I just don't even want to do this anymore because I was even overthinking the podcast itself because then it was like everything after it. It was like the websites and social media and all this other. And then I was like, wait a minute, none of that was the goal. Like I'm like way past the goal. So I'm just going to rewind and focus on what the actual goal was and rewind even more and focus on the process of getting to what the actual goal is, which is launching the podcast. So the process of that particular achievement of goal worked really, really well for me. So then what do you suggest for the procrastinators? I admit I can have a case of procrastinating. So what do you do to overcome procrastination?
So we have a built-in procrastinating. Okay. We all procrastinate all the time. And to overcome procrastination is actually, you know, holding yourself accountable in a way where you actually see it instead of avoiding it. Now, a lot of people are huge avoiders. They suffer from avoidance quite often. So when I say that, I don't mean it in a way where, you know, they don't see the obvious or like, you know, they're not smart enough to see it. It's part of our minds, how it protects itself.
Mm.
We suffer from things like loss. There's other things like trauma, you know, that comes into play as well. And you'll know that too. And you'll see that in a lot of people who does procrastinate the majority of the time is because one of those two things that they haven't dealt with as well. Mm-hmm. And as it accumulates, their main shutoff valve in terms of your mind, it just shuts off automatically. So that's a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So procrastination, like a lot of people also are in denial that they procrastinate. Because now you're pointing out something's wrong with them. But the truth is that actually the underlining of procrastination is actually deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
So to overcome it, first, you have to recognize that you do procrastinate. And number two, you have to understand how long do you procrastinate? Like, give yourself a challenge. Give yourself a hard task and measure out how long will it take you to do it.
How long does it take you to get started or how long does it take you to actually complete the task?
Complete the task.
Okay.
Never mind about getting started, completing the task. Because some people, they will jump in it right away, get it done off their list. There's some people who has a long laundry of a list and nothing ever gets done.
Hmm.
And again, it's about prioritizing those categories so that you're able to tackle. And this is what I always say, to break things down. Out of that list, what are the top three that is the most important?
Mm-hmm.
Tackle those first. The rest can wait.
I think touch on your list piece there, like realistically for people who like lists, how long should you like in look? Cause I've often, when I write my list, they get really, really long, but realistically, how much can we mentally digest when we're writing a list?
Well, you can't mentally digest like a list of 20 items. I always say as long as it's under 10.
Mm, okay.
You can always add on afterwards. You can make multiple lists, not just one. But if you're thinking about just for today, what needs to be done today? So I always say, just write out everything that you think you need to do today. Okay, now relook at the list. Now pick your top three.
Hmm.
So if you can pick your top three out of that long laundry list of yours, right? That's what you're going to tackle today.
You know, I have long lists.
Oh, I know. You know what? I have long lists too, but being realistic, how much of that list can you accomplish actually being efficient with it though? You know, it's not like putting like, you know, oh, I need to do this, but I can only do it halfway. And then I go to the next one and do it halfway and do the next one. No, you have to fully complete that task. So pick the top three. I always say you can have a master list. Pick the top three that you can do today. And then if you're done, you can pick an extra one or two.
Yeah.
Or a three. Yeah.
What do you recommend though, right? Because I've definitely tried that with the, you know, having the list of 20 or 30 things. And a lot of the challenge with my list is like, it's not a task that I can do by myself. So I'm often like, I'll do something and then I'm waiting for somebody. But the point is, it's like, what do you recommend in terms of like keeping track? Because I find that a lot of people, it's like there's journals, there's notebooks, there's their phone, there's messaging themselves, there's Trello, there's Slack, there's this. Like, what do you use?
For myself, I love Post-it notes.
Post-it notes.
Have I showed you my board? Let me show you my board.
Yay. Oh, Post-it notes. Oh, I love it. And it's so pretty and organized. What a nice organized to-do list. And it's so pretty. It's colorful.
So for me, I like exactly like you said, I have to be able to move things around.
Mm, true. Very true.
Because again, having multiple duties or roles, you have to be able to organize it in a way where you can look at it at a glance. So however, most people are visual. So if you work in an office space, for me, I like to have like a blackboard or a whiteboard or whatever. Yes, I write on it, but what stands out to me is Post-it notes. So I categorize it in blocks. Again, that's just how my mind works. You have to find your niche.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like to see things? Do you like the visual aspect of it? Or do you like the listening?
I like visual.
Visual. Yeah. Most people are visual. So I like to look at my board and I can identify everything right away.
I need a whiteboard.
Once it's done, I just take that Post-it note and I chuck it in the garbage. The task is done. I don't need to think about it anymore.
How good does that feel when you pull it off the whiteboard?
Oh, it feels real good.
It's like checking it off.
Once I pull it off,
I
throw it in the garbage. It's already done. I don't need to relook at that again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So however you want to do it, find your niche. Find what works for you. Okay. Not what works for everyone else, but for you. If you're a visual person like I am, Post-it notes are great because I buy them all different sizes.
I saw.
I have lots. See, look, there's one. I've got like bags of this.
Wow. You know, like seriously.
Extra Post-it notes. I have small ones. I have little sticker thingies and I stick on my board. I know that people are like, but it's a blackboard. You can write on it. Yeah, it's great to write on, but there's something about writing on a post-it note and sticking it there because you know that belongs there. Oh, wait, I need to move this to this area now and I can move it. Instead of wipe and then rewrite everything.
That's exactly the problem with the whiteboard, because I have a whiteboard in my office and I put the things that are very important and I need to remember to deal with on my whiteboard. So I can just glance over. But as you said, I got to go and wipe it off and then I got to rewrite it. I got to move things around. So what occurred to me was actually maybe even a magnetic whiteboard so then I can move things around very easily. So, okay. So this is a great segue into, because we're talking about being visual, visualization and mindset. So a lot of people at the beginning of the year will do a vision board. Mm-hmm. So how important is visualization and mindset in achieving goals?
Well, I always say you can think of it, but can you see it?
Mm.
When you can start seeing it, that means it's coming near.
Mm.
So it works the same way as manifestation.
Yeah.
Right? If you can think it, you know there's a possibility that it can become reality, mm-hmm. right? But you can't quite see it yet. But as you move along during the process, now the lines are becoming more clear. Mm-hmm. You know, this visual thing that you have, now you might just have the outline above it. And then comes in a little bit of shading, the darks and the lights. And then it comes into color. So, again, your mental focus in terms of visual is very important. Because once you start seeing it, then you know that it's near, that it's going to become reality very, very close by. So I always say, you know, you got to practice that. And that's why having something like what you just saw, yeah. my crazy board, it's actually cleaned up right now. You should see it before. It was sticking outside of the board because I had no more space, you know? But as closely as you can get, you can narrow down and you can actually see it happening.
Mm-hmm.
So people utilize, like you said, a vision board.
Mm-hmm.
Why are vision boards great exercises? You might not achieve everything on your vision board, but what it has given you is the possibility of having that vision. Right?
Yes.
So once there's a possibility, then things can come into fruition.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you can't see it, you're not there. So always check in with yourself quarterly or even monthly. Some people do monthly, some people do quarterly. What do you see now? Do you see this happening? What does it look like?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you another example that has nothing to do with money or work, but people wanting to have children.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see it? How are you going to work towards it? What is this baby going to look like? Mm-hmm. How is the baby going to feel? You have to have that vision so that your body can prepare itself to actually carry a child if you're a female.
Well, isn't that what, you know, if we talk about Joe Dispenza for a minute, it's like when he's saying, you know, talking about stepping into your new life and like really, it's like raising your vibration, like tricking your body into thinking that it's already happened, right? Because that's what often is talked about with manifestation. Like, great, you can think it, great, you can see it, but you can't actually trick your body into anything unless you experience all the feelings that go along with it. So, you know, you use having a baby as an example. You know, can you feel the weight of the baby? Can you smell what a newborn smells like? Can you see yourself carrying a baby like in utero? Can you hear the baby crying, like all of those? And then the gratitude and the love that you feel with actually now having this, like, can you put yourself there? And that is how you tie it all into manifestation, right?
Yes, that is correct. But if you look at goal setting and achieving your goals and manifesting, they're very similar.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's
very,
a lot.
Very similar.
Yep. Absolutely. So let's talk about the challenges. We've got a couple minutes left here. So let's talk about, to wrap up, let's talk about when you hit a challenge and you are tempted to like put the goal down. not like me where I was like, I just realized that really wasn't what I wanted to do. So I left, I took that goal off the list. Now you hit a major, doesn't even have to be major, just something that makes you reconsider, like, am I supposed to be doing this? Should I continue on this path with this goal? Now what?
Well, there are a few things that are key that you can look out for. Number one, does it feel right? Because if it doesn't feel right, everything you're doing, it's like giving you that resistance, but then you're not happy doing it. So realistically, is that something you really want anymore? At the time of setting that goal, it sounds great. But as we grow and evolve as well, and as your path opens up a little bit more in terms of your work or family or personal life, your goals do change.
Well, because you're changing.
You're changing. Because if it doesn't feel right anymore, maybe it's not right for you anymore. Maybe there's something else out there that you're supposed to achieve. So always be open-minded. I always say goal setting should not be fixed. It should be very flexible. It should grow with you. As you become, that's where you should be. So I always say, listen to your gut instinct. If that goal doesn't seem like it's something you want anymore, it's okay. It doesn't mean that you failed at it. It only means that there's a bigger goal out there that you're supposed to achieve.
Yeah.
And you're going to learn this along the way. And you, the most thing that I always say too is that, you know, you learn more about yourself than your goal. You really do.
Yeah, I guess so, because it's the journey, right? And especially if you're breaking it down, not just so focused on the outcome, but actually when you break it down in terms of the process, and you're going to have challenges along the way. But I think it's how do we, the trick is how we navigate the challenges, right? That's where the learning is. That's where the juiciness is of the experience.
Exactly. Like yourself, Charisse, like in the beginning, your goals were totally different than they are now. There's a lot of stuff that you eliminated, but that was okay because you had other goals in mind.
Yeah. And I think even within that, you're right. There are some goals that I eliminated. But I think even within that, it's like some goals became so much more clear and the path to it. And when I say the path to it, I don't mean exactly from here to here to here, like the actual connecting the dots, but I just mean it brought the goal, the overall object, like the achieving of the goal, so much clearer into focus. And interestingly enough, what also happened in that is some surrender, right? It's like really learning to trust the process, which is has been tricky. It's really tough to say, okay, I'm just going to surrender into this process and be okay with not having to always push that very masculine energy of drive, drive, drive. I find myself saying a lot more, I'm going to put a pin in this. I'm just going to give this a little bit of space, let it unfold a little bit, and then I'll make a decision when something has a little bit of space to like, and that is, that's really been a journey. So that's actually what I've learned and enjoyed the most this year is learning how to take a step back, put a pin in something, and giving it some time to unfold on its own. So I think that's probably the one of the biggest achievements for this year. And it wasn't even on the list. It didn't even make the list.
But you've learned a lot from it because of your growth. So like they always say, if you're not growing, you're dying, right? So we always have to evolve. And that's why I always said, you know, goals, your goals should not be fixed. It should be flexible. When I say that, doesn't mean that you can just be like a yo-yo. Okay. What I mean is that, you know, that big goal could be like, okay, well, you know, I want to buy a new house this end of this year, for instance.
Yeah.
Right. But you're at $0. So as you work towards it, yes, have that big audacious goal. It doesn't mean it has to change, but it, you know, you're thinking you want this big massive house and it's your very first house to buy because everybody wants to buy like a brand new big house, right? And all this stuff. But along the way, you started to learn that the cost of going into buying a house like that is might not be realistic.
Yeah.
Now you're changing your goal. I am still going to buy a home, but it's not going to be this big house that you thought you were going to buy.
Yeah.
Maybe you're going to start off with this house first.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're just like, okay, I just found out that I should just live in it for 2 years and then collect some money, down payment another house, and rent this one out.
Yeah.
Now, my goal is to build a portfolio, not just buying a house to live in.
Look at how beautifully that evolved, right?
Exactly.
So that's a beautiful example of how you can be really adaptable and not be so rigid in that's why what did I say to you, right? The how and the when. Because if the goal was very much focused on the 5 or 10,000 square foot house and you got really focused on the how and when, then you would have missed all of that in between of like something so much bigger than one house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this is actually preparing you for like decades to come.
Mm-hmm. You're setting yourself up. Yep. Absolutely.
Exactly. So that's what I mean by to be flexible and not to be so fixed.
That's a great analogy, actually, because that's like the devil is in the details. You might really miss that if you were so focused on that big, big goal. Yeah.
Exactly. So you wouldn't be able to see that bigger picture, and you might get yourself in trouble too by achieving that goal.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's part of the process, right?
Yeah.
So as soon as you can be flexible with your goals like that, it's still the same goal of buying a new property, but it doesn't have to be that big of size of property, right?
Yeah.
And just because you didn't buy a big size of property that you failed your goal, it's not the truth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So in closing, do you have a goal for 2025 that you would like to maybe share here very publicly?
Well, I haven't sat down and really think about 2025 yet. 2024 has been a major challenge. Lots of personal changes, even living space, everything. I felt like my life was being kind of like torn apart and putting back together kind of thing and having to deal with all of that. But I do have a sense where 2025, the goals are very much more like family.
Mm-hmm.
I think focusing more on my family or my family and building is going to be a big, big, big goal for next year. I think that's going to change a lot of things as well. That's just my personal goal. Work-wise, you know, obviously it wouldn't be better than last year, the year before that. I want to be able to like expand a little bit more. But I will work on it probably in the next month or so because November is literally around the corner.
Yeah, it's tomorrow. So,
I know. Don't remind me. But this is where I mean by sometimes I just want time to slow down just a little bit because I need a breather, you know. But working on that. And I am going to work on, like I said, you know, working on more on the processing goals than the big goal itself. I know I'll get there. But again, it's that visualization, having to go into it and seeing what it looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like, what it tastes like.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is people can't connect taste to other than food.
Taste is tricky.
Things. Taste is very tricky.
It's tricky.
If you can get there, anything is possible.
I am so trying. I think I've nailed all of them except for taste. Taste is tough. It's really, really, really tough. It's tough, but that's okay. That I guess that can be a goal for 2025 for me. where can listeners learn more about you and your work and find you? Where can people find you easiest? Let's put it like that.
Well, I am on social media. I am currently right now building a website for my business and stuff. But you can still follow me on Facebook, which is Helen Nguyen, Nguyen, or on Instagram is helen.n111. And shoot me a message and I can keep you updated on the things that I'm working on. And a lot of valuable contents will be coming out soon as well. So if you're somebody who's just sitting in silence and suffering in silence, just know that there is help out there. There are tons of resources that you can access as well, which I'll be providing on some of my platforms that's being created right now. So
that's exciting. I cannot wait to hear more. I'm very excited. So thank you. Thank you again, as always, for coming and joining me and sharing your tips and tricks and tidbits. I have found immense value in working with you. So I wanted to give you a very sincere, heartfelt thank you.
Aw, well, you're very welcome. And thank you for having me on your podcast. It's an honor.
Always. Don't worry. Helen will be back. I've got her slotted in like many times. Thank you for joining me and Helen today as we talked about goal setting and keeping ourselves accountable, checking back, and really being okay with, you know, changing the goals if you determine that that's not something that really resonates with you any longer. So if you enjoyed today's content, please continue to subscribe, listen, and download. And as always, if you have any questions or episode ideas, please feel free to message me or email me at Cherise@yourcollective.ca. That's Cherisse at yourcollective.ca. And until next time, please take care of yourself.